What Not the Podcast, Lent Up Early Edition. This is Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, and today is March the 26th, the year of our Lord, 2022. Little devotion about law forward, gospel backward, or the other way around. Quick thought about that. And then a question about Adam and Eve in the garden. Could they have died, starved? What would have happened to them if they didn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Great question to reflect on today. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Here's a little devotion about gospel back, law forward. At least here's something that I think is very helpful. Is that one of the ways the devil confuses law and gospel is he preaches the gospel toward the things in front of us and the law toward the things behind us. In other words, if I'm tempted to sin today or tomorrow, then the devil comes along and he says, don't worry, Jesus is nice, no big deal. But then when I see my sins behind me, the devil amplifies them. How could you have possibly done that? And you call yourself a Christian. We want to rightly divide law and gospel by flipping it around and recognizing that the gospel, the blood of Jesus, the kindness of the Lord, the forgiveness of sins covers all that we've done wrong. All that follows behind us, all our guilt, all our shame is all covered by his blood. But when we look to today and tomorrow, we have the Ten Commandments and Moses giving us instruction on wise living and loving and serving God and our neighbor. We see this perhaps most clearly reflected in the morning and evening prayers that Luther gives us in the Catechism. So when I wake up in the morning, I pray, may all my doings in life be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, so that everything that happens today would make the Lord smile because of my faithful service to him and the neighbor. And then when I go to bed at night and I thinking back over the troubles of this day, we pray that the Lord would forgive us for all the things that we've done wrong. So forgiveness covers all of our sins, and the law instructs us for love and the life that the Lord has given to us today. I hope that's helpful for you. Let me know. Here's a fun question from Aaron. I've been reading about Adam and Eve in the garden recently. I was wondering if Adam and Eve and their children would have lived forever in the garden due to them having access to the tree of life if they had not eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I looked over Luther's commentary, thank you for putting it on the website, and he mentions that they would have transitioned to spiritual and eternal life. Chapter 2, pages 78 and following. Is Luther arguing that Adam and Eve would still have died, or they would have had an Enoch Elijah experience? Any further insight and or resources you can recommend on the topic would be appreciated. Well, thank you, Aaron, for the question. It's really great. And you mentioned Luther's commentary. Luther's commentary on Genesis chapters 1 to 4 is in the public domain, and I've republished that, so you can download that for free if you're listening and you're interested on the website wolfmuller.co, books, everyone's Luther Genesis commentary. Luther has some kind of wonderful, very different ideas about Genesis, and one of them is that Adam, maybe before we get to that, here's a riddle. And it is, could Adam and Eve have starved to death before the fall? Now, that's a really fun question to think about. In fact, you might want to, if you want to pause and think about it a little bit, or ask someone else later to reflect on this, because we say, well, surely they couldn't die because they hadn't eaten from the fruit, and yet it seemed like they needed to eat to live. That's why the Lord planted a garden, so that they couldn't have just gone on forever without any food. In fact, the tree of life was in the middle of the garden, which would cause them to live forever. So it seems like Adam and Eve needed fruit to live. So it would have been possible to starve, and yet they had fruit so that they couldn't have starved, and yet they had a free will so that they could have chosen not to eat, and yet their will was perfect, so they wouldn't have chosen not to eat. So the answer is, could Adam and Eve have starved to death in the garden? The answer is yes and no, and yes and no. So eventually it's no. But it's no because everything they needed for life was provided for them. It wasn't like Adam and Eve were atomic submarines that had this perpetual power to stay alive. Even in the garden, their life came from the outside. That's part of what it means to be a creature, and part of what it means to be human is that our life comes to us also from the outside. So that Adam and Eve, even before the fall, had to eat, which is wonderful. The angels did not. And this gets to the Luther thing, is that Luther has the idea that Adam and Eve would have grown to be more and more spiritual, more and more like the angels, less and less earthy. And so that over time, they would have sort of locked into the glory of God. Maybe they would have stopped having children. They would have grown into the state that we will achieve in the resurrection. And they would have had all the wonder of growing into that state. But when they fell, then that became impossible. So the Lord has to bring us to that state through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and then through our own death and resurrection. So I don't think Luther thought that they would have died to enter into the spiritual state, but that they would have sort of become stronger and stronger until they achieved the glory of the resurrection, what we call the glory of the resurrection. But for them, it would have just been the glory of eternal life. At that point, it would have been unable for them to fall. So Luther kind of conceptualizes that, like at some point, the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is no longer a possibility for them, no longer a difficulty, that temptation would pass. But that's all speculation. And we want to remember that all of the what-ifs that we bring to the scriptures might be good exercises for our theological imagination, but they can also be particularly dangerous. So we never want to hold the what-ifs too tightly. In fact, we want to hold the what-ifs in our back pocket so that they're there for our learning when we attain to the resurrection of the body and life eternal. So great question, Aaron. I really appreciate it. And hopefully that's helpful for you. For the rest of you, you'll really have fun. There's some old Lutheran theologian said that you should not be called a theologian until you have read Luther's Genesis commentary. Especially those first four chapters are the most important ones. So that's available for you again, wolfmuller.co. You can find it for free, download it, and enjoy it. Again, that Luther commentary and a bunch of other Luther stuff and a bunch of other stuff, books, old theology books, are there on the website, wolfmuller.co. You can order them if you want, but you can also just download them for free and read them that way if you can stand to read on a tablet or a Kindle or whatever. It's all there for you, and I hope you will take advantage of that. It's one of my goals. I have two goals for all the online media stuff, and one is that you, dear friend, would be participating in the life of the local congregation, rejoicing in the body and blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins and your own pastors preaching and teaching. And the other one is that we would read old theology books. And so we've published a bunch of those, made them available for as cheap as possible and for free for download. And so that's there for you as well. So I hope you consider it. You think one of these days I got to go and read some old theology. Where do I start? Luther on Genesis is a good place to start. Although you're like, wow, Luther's got some different ideas about vegetables and things than I do. But it's fun to read, and it's really nice to see how he thinks about these things. To help you, by the way, this is one of the reasons we're doing the Worldwide Bible Class, The Life of Jacob with Martin Luther. We're reading Luther's Genesis commentary together, so I'm walking you through that. So that's live every Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock Texas time, but we put those recordings on the YouTube channel. And so if you want to go check that out as well. Some people say they like the recordings because, you know, you can speed up the YouTube videos. So you can watch it at double speed and get through it a lot faster. In fact, one of the funny things to do is to watch the YouTube videos at double speed and then slow them down to regular speed. And it sounds like whoever's speaking is just real slow. I always think that's funny. Anyhow, I think that's enough for today. Thanks for your comments and your questions and your involvement. It's really great. Wolfmuller.co. wolfmuller.co/contact to send a note. Love to hear from you. Love all the questions. Thanks. God's peace be with you.